Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Summer Scam, where we will review what was probably, no, most definitely, the worst fucking SummerSlam pay-per-view I've watched. 5 hours of my life down the toilet tonight. 5 hours. But first, let's introduce our co-host tonight. Up first, he lives in Florida. Give it up for DJ from FLA.
Hey, yo, 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 what's going on? What's up, everybody?
And up next, we have the Punjabi Nightmare. Give it up for Ahmad.
Yo, 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 what's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? And no, I'm not from Punjab.
Sorry.
Sorry, brother. That's all right.
All right. So, fellas, Summer Scam.
Hey, yo. Can you hear me, too? Am I the guest caller?
Oh, yeah. And also, another surprising third guest. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Kevier West.
Hey.
Kevin, I would like you to meet DJ and Ahmad. Ahmad, meet Kevin.
Yo, yo, what's
up,
Kevin?
Hey, yo, what's up, Kevin?
Nice to meet you guys. Hell yeah. What a roller coaster it was.
What a fucking garbage pay-per-view.
At least we know what Vince's counter was for CM Punk last night on AEW. So.
Wow. Brock Lesnar. Wow. Because everybody wants to see Lesnar versus Reigns again for the millionth time. Wow, that's what people need to see. Great. Start things off with the pre-show, right?
Okay.
So,
I didn't see the pre-show, so you guys are going to – I didn't see the pre-show, so you all are going to have to talk about that amongst yourselves. I didn't see it, so.
Yeah, well, they lied. The house was not sold out. The arena was not sold out tonight. Surprise, surprise. But they kept mentioning how many people were in attendance tonight. They wouldn't shut the fuck up about it throughout the rest of the night. Am I right, Ahmad?
Hello,
Ahmad.
Ahmad. You're on the air.
Ahmad.
Can you hear me, guys?
Oh, boy. Yes.
Can you hear me? Yeah, no, I agree with you, Christian. I mean, I noticed that, too, throughout the night. Every single announcer or everything, and they even actually announced the attendance. I guess I don't know if that's a message for AEW. To, hey, look, we can draw and you guys can't. I guess, I don't know. Every single segment was like 51,000 plus, 51,326. Who cares?
It sounded like Vince like intentionally wanted them to say it throughout the show.
What about you, Kevin?
I heard Booker T was like just like pumping the shit out of everything like on the pre-show. Like Booker T was working like double time. Like trying to like promote every match and like going like out of left field with everything, like all of his bookings, and he had his own little corner like over
corner,
there, like over
just,
there,
like
cheering
just,
for him,
like,
the, whole
for
time,
him.
The whole time.
Yeah,
wow.
It was dog shit.
But it did seem like a lot of people, but the stage. You called me before the show, and like the stage did suck. The entrance, and all that stuff. Like it was one of the worst ones I've seen in a pay per view. I think.
Very generic, very Royal Rumble-ish. Even at Royal Rumble, they have something better than that. But that was very, very cheap. It was like last-minute stuff.
Yeah, like they just filled the place up and they didn't have like a plan for what it was going to really look like. It's a bad decision. Like SummerSlam is the second biggest show. It should look like super produced, and it didn't.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of camera errors, too. Like, honestly, like, there was a lot of stuff where the camera cuts were, like, really bad.
Oh, yeah. You could see it throughout the whole show. I mean, during some of people's entrances, and even when Becky, even right now at the end with Brock Lesnar when he was walking down the aisle. I was like, what the fuck? Can't people hold the camera straight? I don't get it. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Very, very sloppy. Very sloppy.
Awful. So now we start the show. We start with the pre-show. It was fucking Big E which we all thought, you know, Big E was going to cash in, you know. Nope, he doesn't cash in. What happens is he has a fucking boring, generic match with fucking Baron Corbin, because Baron Corbin stole his briefcase, and they decided to put this in the fucking match. Horrible.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a fuck. It was fucking.
I'm pretty sure none of us like from Fatal 4-Way like anticipated this match as a pre-show match. Like nobody called Baron Corbin and Big E. So whenever it happened, I was like, of course they would do this. I was like thinking like, why didn't I think of that? You know. But it was a shit match. Like compared to like, I was just like, why is this on the show? And then Big E still like nothing comes from it. Like so what's the outcome if like they're just stretching the story on? Like, or they're just stretching it out. Like, and there's no real story. You know what I mean?
It's awful. What about you, Ahmad?
I don't like the whole idea of Baron Corbin and taking the briefcase. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to stretch his story. If it is a story, it's not. It wasn't great. I thought it was going to be some sort of thing, okay, where even if he loses, take the briefcase and do something else with it, at least if you're not going to cash in. But they just basically, boom, he lost, boom, he took the case back, and have a nice day. It's like, okay, move on to the next.
Exactly. Why do it if there's not a payoff? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. There's no payoff at the end, so what's the point? Just to have a match before the main show? I guess. Fill in time? That's a whole other story.
What about you, DJ?
I didn't see it, sir. Remember?
No, but the way that we're describing it, how what's your opinion about it, you know?
Describing what? The
the
Baron Corbin match?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. But Big E wins the title. Right? Like, he just gets his, not the title, but he gets the briefcase back. There's no, like, the whole fact that Corbin stole it doesn't matter.
Well, it makes sense because of what happened on Friday. So after he stole it the first time, and then Big E tried to get it back, which he momentarily got it back on Friday, and then, you know, Corbin wound up getting the briefcase back. I mean, it kind of makes sense that SummerSlam would be the place in the pre-show for Big E to get it back. So I mean, it was like everything else almost with WWE, it's predictable. So they did all that just so Big E would get his briefcase back. That's the way I look at it.
And so the people, because that's what I always say on the show, is like, so people could see Big E, so people could see Corbin. The people that came to that show, probably some of those people wanted to see those guys wrestle. So it's cool that they gave them the match. But what Christian's always preaching is that they're just giving us the same match all the time. And I got that from tonight more than anything. Like, we just saw a bunch of rematches that we've already seen on Raw.
Yep.
But we'll move on. I didn't hate the whole show.
So up next was the beginning of the show. Oh, boy. Okay. So up next was RK-Bro versus AJ and Omos. Just a decent Raw match. A match that shouldn't have been in a pay-per-view, in my opinion. This was just a Raw match. There was no crazy spots. No nothing. Just a regular fucking Raw match. I mean, Matt Riddle bumped like a few times, but fuck me. This was not a fucking pay-per-view match at all. This was just a TV Raw match, in my opinion. DJ, your thoughts?
Well, again, everything, you know, if you want to call this a build that they did to their match here at SummerSlam, I've been saying for the last few weeks that at some point Riddle and Orton are going to team up and they're going to be a tag team and they're going to challenge Omos and AJ Styles. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Again, you can see it happening. It's going to happen. I mean, who else is going to challenge AJ Styles and Omos for their titles at the pay-per-view? They needed challengers. And it's just sad that you see this coming already and you just have to wait it out until it actually happens. So there was no surprise that those two teams were going to face each other. I will say this, a part of me kind of didn't think. I mean, I did say that I thought that they would win the titles tonight, but there was a teeny, teeny, bitty little piece of me that didn't think they would. because somebody mentioned, I don't know who it was, Christian, but somebody had mentioned that they thought Orton may turn on Riddle. But obviously that didn't happen. So they got the titles. I guess it was a nice way to get the crowd into and get the crowd pumped to have a title change, you know, to start off the pay-per-view. So, I mean, it is what it is. I think we all seen it coming. That's the bottom line.
Okay. Okay, what about you, Ahmad? What do you thought about it?
All in all, I'll agree with you on this. It was a repeat match. It was entertaining. It was actually pretty good. The thing that kind of surprised me is they actually, like DJ said, I think they the difference between, you know, that it's a Raw, that's a repeat Raw match, that they actually gave them the titles on a pay-per-view. I thought they would have held out, but it was a decent match. I liked it. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great either, but predictable as usual. But it was fine. There's really not much to say about that. I mean, it was an entertaining match. It was one of them. I enjoyed it. There wasn't any botches. There were some good spots there. And I think the reason they gave up the belts and gave it to RK-Bro is because Omos really can't wrestle. And you saw that tonight. He's just not a wrestler. I think teaming him up with AJ, trying to make him look good, I think maybe they have other plans for him. I don't know. Or they might just do a rematch again on Monday night, you know, again. Boom. Flip it again.
All right.
Who knows? Maybe, who knows?
All right, Kev, what are your thoughts?
I agree with both of the guys. Honestly, it's like there's no other teams that could have taken the titles. There's no other teams that could have really, on Raw, there's no teams that could have combated these titles. So RK-Bro, they like dragged it out and waited for Randy to come back and reunited and everything so that they could do this. And that makes sense because there's no one else that could have potentially done it. We don't have the Revival anymore, or, you know, just like we have Mace and T-Bar is like the only other tag team I can think of that is on Raw consistently. So I get that why they, and it is cool that they changed the titles in the first match of the show because it did amp up the crowd. But really, bro, like the first three or four matches were, I did not get into the show until like over halfway through the show. So the first handful of matches were like pretty lackluster, and they did seem like Raw matches. Even though there was a title change in this match, I think that you're right about like the Omos not being ready to wrestle. Like not, he's kind of like more like Great Khali than Paul White, you know. And
right,
he needs a little more work. So
a lot more work.
It makes sense that they take the titles off and they give RK-Bro the real push now that they have the crowd. But there was really nobody else to do it. That's my main takeaway.
Yep.
It had
true.
To be them.
Now, I have a question for you guys. How long will RK-Bro stay champion and stay together? That's the other question, because we know WWE, they don't see that working. What will they do? They'll break them up. They'll make them lose the championship, and they'll break them up.
Here's the thing. I think we all know, and Randy has stated this before, that he's not a tag team type of guy.
Right.
He's always done things on his own. So I honestly believe this is just temporary. Like you said, you know, how long
Randy Orton always turns on his partners. Randy Orton,
of course.
I'm pretty sure he's never had a partner that he hasn't turned on. So that's probably like a character consistency, like a character arc that they're going to continue. And I'm pretty sure we'll see Orton versus Randy, and it's going to be sick. Riddle versus Randy, and it's going to be sick.
Yeah.
It's going to be, these guys complement each other in a lot of ways, and I'm hot on Riddle. And I think that he could be like, he's like the last strand of like what Daniel Bryan left over, you know, like he's kind of like Daniel Bryan.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Riddle turns on Orton, you know, because he did say he has a surprise for him tomorrow, a Monday Night Raw. So I wouldn't be surprised if he turns him on there.
No, that's not going to happen. Not too soon. That's too soon. But I think
they have the belt.
A little
they're
too happy.
They're
coming up on TV for a while.
Right. Yeah.
You'll start seeing seeds being planted here probably within a couple of weeks. You know.
Yep.
Because that's what they do. They start doing little teases here and there, and you know something's going to happen. It's just that's how WWE is. So it's just a matter of when.
Riddle is over. Riddle is like one of WWE's best like draws right now. He might not be like a big draw like in the sense of like these huge names, you know, like you know CM Punk, et cetera. But like Riddle has the potential to be a big draw like that. And I do see like more than any other superstar, I see that Riddle could like be a big draw in the future. And so if they do it right, they won't mess it up. But if they don't, they're gonna shit the bed.
Yeah,
that's
you know,
exactly the key.
It's funny that you said that because I've always said that, you know, I mean I like Riddle. I like his how he is when he's in the ring, his ring skills and whatnot. I just think they need to make him a little bit more serious. You know, I think if they made him a little bit more serious.
It'll be different for him once he can be serious. He'll get a real push.
Yeah.
But I think that's what he needs right now because you said he has the potential, and he does. I just think he needs to change his, you know, he just needs to be a little more serious.
He needs to change his gimmick.
And I think he needs a gimmick change here pretty soon. Because, I mean, that gimmick's
sure.
only going to be good for so long,
think,
and it's going to go
so.
Stale.
You know why they won't do that?
It's going to go stale at some point.
No, but they won't do that. You know why? Because he's funny. He's a funny dude. Second of all, remember, this is a PG era. So this is a PG thing. They're catering to kids and bro this, bro that. You know what I mean?
That's why a lot of times they sour on their talent because they don't want to change
right.
their talent and nobody wants to see it after a certain amount of time. And so when they're not a draw anymore, they get rid of them.
Right. I agree with you. You're right. He doesn't need to change, but I don't think they'll do it. They'll never do that.
Okay. All right. So we have to move on. Hey, great talk. Moving on, we have what was, you know, then the second match, it all went downhill, the whole pay-per-view. The whole pay-per-view went downhill. The second match happened. Worst match. A lot of worst matches here tonight. Fucking Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie. Fuck this gimmick. Fuck the Evolution. Fuck shit. Fuck this gimmick. I hate it. I hate both these gimmicks. Fuck. This match fucking sucked. Eva Marie's a fucking joke. She's a hoax. She's a fraud. Those people who said she trained was a fraud. Frauds. Awful.
Oh.
The match sucked. The match fucking sucked. Your thoughts, DJ?
Yeah, this one, why did they even bring her back?
It didn't have to happen.
I just don't. She hasn't done anything. Absolutely nothing. Like I said, I've been saying this for a while now. The only thing that I see in her is she's a fine ass looking lady with a fine ass body. But that's it. She's got no ring skills. I don't even care about that package that they showed on her a long time ago when she was going to be making her debut and they showed her in the ring and it looked like she was doing some stuff. But she hasn't even shown any of that. Nothing. And I feel bad for Alexa Bliss that she had to be subjected to this mess with her in this match. I just I think Alexa Bliss, I think she deserves better than what she's being put through with this. This is stupid. I think a lot of this is basically not about Alexa Bliss and Eva. It's more about Eva and Doudrop. I think it's more about those two than it is about Alexa Bliss. She's just in there, just kind of thrown into the mix to give it a little more of what? I don't know. Because I think this really is just about, because you saw what happened at the end of the match between Doudrop and Eva. So those two eventually, obviously, are not going to be together for much longer. That's obvious. But this match was just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. What do you say? You had to sit through it, and you had to deal with it and deal with the pain.
Sounds so defeated.
Well, go ahead, Kevin.
I 100% agree, bro. And I told my wife, like, we were watching the show tonight, and I was like, whenever this match started, I was like, something big has to happen. Like, something, like, Fiend level has to happen. Like, they have to do some kind of super magic power stuff in this match. And we didn't really see that. And we didn't see Lily, like, from what I saw, maybe I missed something, but, like, I didn't see, like, a major Lily interference. And if they're going 100% with this Lily gimmick, like, so when the match was over, I was like, maybe this is good because Alexa won in a real match and without help from Lily. Like, that's, like, but really, like, I mean, Eva is the problem. Eva's good for business, like you said. Like, she's just, like, she looks great. She looks great on TV. She could be a manager. She could be an authority figure like Sonya Deville. Like, Eva could fill, like, a bunch of different roles and accomplish her job. But they're trying to make her a wrestler, and that's a super bad decision. And Alexa Bliss, in my opinion, has been the best wrestler on the roster for the last, like, 2 years, like, of male and female. Like, I love Alexa Bliss, and not just as a fanboy, but, you know, I mean, like, she just works really well. She's a great wrestler. And it sucks that, like, so not only has the Fiend shit happened to her, but now she has to work with this. And the same goes for Piper or, you know, Doudrop, like, There was just so much potential in all of these people that, like, we were not seeing. And the match, like, I was mad whenever it came on. I was mad when I was watching it because I was like, this isn't a pay-per-view. I was telling Amy, my wife, about, like, past SummerSlams and, like, what we see normally see at SummerSlam. And this is what we're getting. And, it was a disappointment. It sucks for Alexa. It kind of sucks for Eva Marie too, because she came back. I was like, why did they bring her back? What are they bringing her back for? To make her look like shit? So.
Right.
All right, Ahmad, what is your take on all this?
I gotta agree with the guys, but the major thing for the bright spot, if you want to look at the bright spot, was the end, when Alexa pinned her. I said, thank God, put away the misery. I mean, it was very, very brutal to watch. It was not that great. It was not – I mean, Alexa did all the work. That's the other thing. If you notice the match is all one-sided, is because there was only one person carrying that whole match, and that was Alexa. And you're right. Alexa –
yeah, she can't work. Like, Eva is late on everything. Like, just from – like, just, like, basic knowledge of, like, watching a few YouTube videos of how people chain wrestle or whatever, like – just shit like that. Like, Eva doesn't do what, like, the lowest level NXT wrestlers do. Like, she doesn't know how to wrestle like that.
No, Eva Marie is good for promotions, like you, and a manager type. Even a manager type, I don't think she can do that either. I think she's just good as, you know, eye candy. You want to put her on a poster and stuff like that, that's it. And as far as I've seen some of her videos where she's supposedly trained, but I didn't even see, like, a tenth of that in the ring tonight. I mean, you can't even bounce off the ring ropes properly. Come on, that's a basic thing that you do as a wrestler. She just needs to go away. I don't care whatever the angle is with Doudrop and stuff like that. I don't want to see her again. I don't care how pretty or hot she is. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Yeah, and honestly, like the Doudrop gimmick is like pissing me off the more and more that I see that too. Like I'm like. Like, bring in Piper as, like, a badass. I just think
right.
that, like, it's a low point for WWE. Like, the way that they're booking Piper is really a low point. And I get that they're doing it for heat for Eva Marie. It gives her heat. But still, like, no, like, this chick, like, you know, either book her strong, book her as, like, what she deserves to be booked at, or, like, don't fucking give her the time of day. And
exactly.
It's just weird that they bring these, like, indie darlings in, like Viper, and they fucking trash them like they do. Keith Lee, you know, Keith Lee was injured. He came out with that shit. But, like, there's different guys. There's a bunch of guys. Viper's one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So up next, we get more dog shit. We get the most boringest fucking match possible, and that's the third match. Sheamus versus Damian Priest for the U.S. title. My God, this match was bullshit boring. This was boring. Fucking Sheamus was kicking this guy's ass the entire match. And what happened? Fucking Damian Priest hits one finisher. Boom, he's your new U.S. champion. How the fuck does this make Damian Priest look good? He got his ass kicked the majority of the match, and then he hits one finisher, and that's it?
Well, he, like, there was more leading up. He, like, he did rip Sheamus' mask off and, like, called him. He, like, said, bitch, and he, like, started punching him in the face. Like, there was a – but, like, so don't get me wrong. Like, I hated this match. I like, honestly was like, man, why is this happening? And I was thinking that Miz and Morrison were going to be involved. And, like, the whole, all the things we've been talking about, how Miz and Morrison are in this storyline. And we didn't see that happen. But really, like, I mean, like, Damian Priest looked bad in the match until the end. And then he, like, won me over at the end of the match. But that being said, like, Sheamus is the – I would have, like – I think I probably picked Sheamus for this match. I don't even know if he was on the card whenever we predicted or whatever. But I would have picked Sheamus to win this match. But Damian Priest, like, and I was making fun of him when he won. I was like, oh, he shoots an arrow. Like, I just, like, his gimmick is underdeveloped. And, like, so you got this guy who's just a creator wrestler, like, with fucking shit in his hair. And he looks cool. I get it. I love him. He's tall. On one hand, I love him. But on the other hand, I hate him. So now he's our champion.
Fuck him. DJ, what is your Ahmad, what is your response to this match? Because you were falling asleep during this match.
I was. I was falling asleep until the end. The end is, I actually, to be honest, then I got up, went to the bathroom, came back, and the match was over. I was like, wow, thank God it was over. I did not enjoy it at all. I'm not a fan of Damian Priest either. The match had a few botches in it too, which I was not happy about. I mean, I didn't enjoy it at all. I mean, that's all I got to say on that. I'm not going to elaborate on it any longer. It's just crap. DJ, what did you think?
Oh, well, you know, I will say this, because I would be a liar if I didn't admit this, that I did not expect Priest to come out on top of this match. It did. It started off real slow. Even I was starting to get tired just watching this match. I really wanted them, you know, because you have to keep things going just to keep the people going, just the viewers that are watching. If you're in there and you're slugging it out like two heavyweights, you know, like they are, how is that getting anybody excited? You know, if you're not doing things, you're not keeping the action going. But like Kevin said, towards the end, he kind of won me over as well, you know, after, you know, he won the title and whatnot. It was totally unexpected for me anyway. This match as a whole, though, I think it could have been a little bit better. Yeah, obviously. But, I mean, it is what it is. So we'll have to see what happens on
Well, that's where you get into – That's where you get WWE is about moments. And so the moment that we got, the replay that we're going to see over the next few weeks is going to be him ripping Sheamus' mask off and being like, you know, that moment or whatever. And, like,
yeah,
it's things like that. Yeah. Like, that's what they're doing with Damian Priest. They can just book him in a spot, like, to do this big thing. And, And God bless Sheamus for being the vet that's, like, been here for so long that we don't really deserve. Like, Sheamus is one of these wrestlers that we really don't deserve. He's been loyal to WWE the whole time and done this. And Sheamus had a great run, too. Everything Sheamus has done in the last 2-3 years has been gold to me. But it's just that they're not bringing the talent up right. They're not bringing up Damian Priest right. They're not bringing up different people.
And Damian Priest, to me, doesn't have a personality either. He does not have a personality. Like, there's nothing likable about the dude.
We
with you saying that,
yeah, he shoots an arrow. His
came,
name is in fire. Sure. Like he's just a okay. he's just like a taunt. Like right now, he doesn't. He was friends with Bad Bunny. We got into that through his, you know, 4 or 5 weeks that he was with Bad Bunny, and but now it's like, and so they were trying to tie him in with the Miz and Morrison, and he's still involved with them, I guess, in the storyline. But they didn't include that storyline in what happened tonight. Like, this is SummerSlam. Let's see some storyline progression. Nah, like, they don't even throw that into us.
You know, talking about Sheamus and everything like that and how much he deserves everything, there is one guy that I wish would have had something to do with this pay-per-view that we didn't see and have, as far as I'm concerned, haven't seen. And that's Cesaro.
Yeah.
Where's Cesaro?
True.
Then?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. This guy was supposed to be a main eventer.
I'll do you one better. Where the fuck is Sami Zayn?
Oh, Sami Zayn. Absolutely. I mean, they just, one of their biggest pay-per-views of the year, and you know, you leave people out like those two guys and you don't have nothing for them.
Especially in a time that we're like,
it's pretty sad.
Where indie wrestling is big and we're like, you know, like having indie darlings like, you know, CM Punk comes back yesterday. Let's bring, you know, let's put CM Punk there. Not let's put Sami Zayn and let's put Kevin Owens and let's put these guys on it. Let's bring Adam Cole in. Let's do a surprise match with so-and-so. They don't do shit like that, you know?
Yep.
No.
The shit that people want to see.
Well, Adam Cole's going to have his final match tomorrow, so it doesn't matter. Adam
KO.
Cole's gone after
tomorrow. And KO's another one, you know? He's been on the TV shows, but where is he at on pay-per-views?
And he hasn't done shit on the TV shows either. They did that shit with Baron Corbin with him. Is that all you got for him to do?
Yeah.
That's it?
All right, so moving on, we got... I'm sorry, what?
I said the next match.
Yeah, the next match. The next
Modest
match
is not your
fucking...
show, sir.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. The next match is another fucking repeat, everybody. It's the fucking Mysterios versus the Usos. I couldn't give a fuck. I couldn't care less. This is the seventh time they fought. And not surprising, the Mysterios lost. Hooray. The Usos retained. I do not give a shit. I don't give a shit about this title reign because it's not deserved. And the Mysterios could go fuck off. Dominic Mysterio's a fucking loser in my eyes. He's done. This is his one-year anniversary since debuting in-ring. And the guy's done nothing but lose. Yeah, he won the tag titles, but he didn't even have the tag titles that long. He lost it at the next pay-per-view. As far as I'm concerned, the experiment of Dominic Mysterio has been a fucking failure. DJ, what is your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I really wasn't invested into this tag match at all, to be honest with you. I mean, I like the Usos. I really do. But I just couldn't get myself into this match as much as I would love to have been able to. I just sat through and I watched it like everybody else did. I mean, there really wasn't any excitement in it for me. And like you said, Christian, that's all he's done is been sucking up L's lately. So, I mean, I hope, which I doubt, but I'm hoping that this will be the end of this feud with these two and they'll move on. But, I mean, but who else are they going to move on to?
Street Profits. The Street Profits, probably.
Street Profits, and get them back, and they can get them back into it. Probably the Dirty Dogs, Ziggler and Rude. I mean, they haven't been doing much either, but.
That's the Academy, Otis and Kate Gable.
Yeah. But this match was what it was. I mean, what do you say about it, dude? I mean, for real. Like, I watched it through just like the rest of you guys did, man, as much as I could without, you know, nodding off or whatever. So.
All right, Ahmad, what is your take on it?
Same boring repeat. Because the way the night was going, I thought it was going to be a title change. That didn't happen. That was kind of like, I wanted some surprises or something, or even what you were saying while we were watching is, you know, at least at the end, I have Dominic turn on his father or something different, but just was just the same old shit.
same old, you know, win, lose, same match. Just, you know, the Usos are, I mean, at least they're great. At least they tried. I mean, at least they're ending it. I mean, there are some exciting parts of the match, but still, it was a repeat. It was just Raw on SummerSlam. That's all that was. It was. And I think they should get, you know, be done with this feud, get a new feud, get somebody else in there, or at least bring some other, tag teams. But
yeah, what is,
they're not gonna do that. They're just gonna do the same old shit over and over and over again.
Kevin, what are your thoughts about it?
Well, in the words of Paul Heyman, this is not a prediction. It's a spoiler. So, I mean, really, bro, like them winning the titles, like the Usos winning, like sold that Roman was going to win. Like I even said this on Fatal 4-Way. Like if the Usos won their tag team titles, Roman was going to win. Because I can't see how WWE would book the Usos as tag team champs and Roman having lost his title. They all have to have the gold. So I knew the Usos were going to win. It was kind of cool when I watched the match because my friend's kid was over here. I had like a little 8-year-old kid over here that was like watching that match with me, and I was like, he knew who Rey Mysterio was, and I was filling him in on this stuff, and that was kind of cool. So the match overall, because I love the Usos, like just like you guys, I love the Usos so much. And really, like, it was Dominic's, like, what, 1-year anniversary. So I was like, I had some investment in this match. I was like, man, this is kind of cool. Like, Dominic's wrestling his 1-year anniversary with his dad at SummerSlam for the championship. All the sentimental shit aside, like, the match was just a Raw match. And the Usos won like I thought they were going to, and Roman won like I thought he was going to. But it goes on. But I mean, it's just the typical WWE booking. But I will say that I like marked out because the Usos came out with the lays on, with they had their fucking tribal like lays on, and that was awesome. And then when Roman came out with the Chili Peppers later, it marked me out too. So it's cool that they were doing that. And really just that the Usos are badass. Like, I mean, the Usos carried this match and they deserve the praise.
Yeah.
Up next is the dreaded thing that, fuck, I'm disgusted at what I'm about to say up next. Up next was Bianca Belair versus quote unquote Sasha Banks. Sasha was announced that she was pulled off of SummerSlam because of uncertain reasons. I think I know what it is, but
it's COVID?
COVID related. COVID, I think. But so we have Bianca Belair, the women's champion. Carmella comes out to be her replacement. But who do you hear music? Becky Lynch. That's right. Becky Lynch returned. Fans, not as huge as CM Punk's pop, by the way. CM Punk was more over than Becky Lynch, so that's an L right there. But she did get a good pop. But the one thing they did that was fucked up, and they fucking ruined Becky's return, and they fucked everybody over. They had the match, quote unquote match. The bell rings. Becky hits a fucking rock bottom, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It was a terrible one, too, by the way.
It was a rock bottom.
It was a terrible rock bottom. And then 1, 2, 3, 4 fucking seconds, and they buried Bianca, and Becky Lynch is your new fucking champion, and I was fucking livid. I can't fucking believe they did my girl Bianca like this. This was dirty. This was fucked up. They made Bianca look like a schmuck. They made her look like a fucking idiot. And the fact that Becky Lynch is back in the title picture just like that pisses me the fuck off, because nothing's fucking different here. Because it's always the fucking horsewoman that has to be on top, isn't it? No other women could be on top of the fucking WWE. No, it has to be only those four bitches that have to be on top, right? Right? If it's not one horsewoman, it's another. If it's not Sasha Banks, it's Becky, right? fuck this. Fuck Becky Lynch. Fuck this shit. Bianca got fucking screwed. She got robbed. All that hype, all that build-up from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania to this, this was a fucking disgrace. This was a joke. A joke. I spit, by the way, because it's a fucking joke. DJ, what is your thoughts?
Bro. You're so mad.
My thoughts
on this? This match got you pissed off, dude. Hey, Christian, real talk, like, when this match was happening, your voice was ringing in my head. Like, I knew what would, I knew which, I, all that shit you just said, like, was, I already heard it. And, yeah, no, it was really weird. Like, I marked out for Becky coming back. That was, like, so last night we saw CM Punk. Tonight we saw Becky come back. And that was my first mark-out moment of the night where I was like, okay, she's back. This is badass. But overall, my thoughts on the match is just that, like, this is going to escalate into a triple threat with Sasha and Becky and Bianca. And it sucks for Bianca because really what it makes me think of is, like, Bianca is the kind of person that you could book, like, how whenever Cena had, like, the U.S. title, like, the open challenge thing that he was doing. Like, if they did that with the women's title, if they did it with Bianca, like, she's such a badass athlete that she could, like, fight every chick on the roster and be fine. That would be the story that I would go with for her. But, no, we're not getting that. And I'm glad that Becky's back, but also, like, I think that it's just going to escalate into the same kind of thing that we've seen on Raw with Charlotte and Rhea and all that shit. Like, I think there's going to be a triple threat clusterfuck for the next month.
Well, TJ, what are your thoughts about this travesty?
Honestly, Christian, I'm really waiting for you to tell us all how you really feel.
No.
I think we just got a smidgen of how you felt about this match. I want to know your real feeling.
Yeah, I knew. I saw it, and I was like, Christian's going to hate this shit.
No, I totally agree. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was all over Twitter, and I was reading everybody's tweets that they were tweeting on, and there wasn't one person
I saw that tweeted that was happy
with what?
No, that was just my producer playing background noise. I'm
sorry.
I hate them.
I didn't see one tweet on there of anybody that was happy about what happened with this match, and I can't agree more. I just think, you know, bringing out Carmella, you see when Carmella came out, right, when everybody thought Carmella was going to be the replacement, and no, she got zero reaction. I don't know if you guys saw that. She got zero reaction,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty sad.
Yeah.
That couldn't have made her feel any good, getting zero act.
Yeah.
So
my wife's nodding her head, too. Like, we're big fans of Carmella, dude. Like, I've been a Carmella fan since NXT Enzo days.
Yeah.
And she, like, came out and got her ass whooped, got thrown outside, treated like shit, sold like they didn't even beat her ass hard enough for her to sell.
Right.
Like, I was thinking maybe Carmella's going to interfere in the match because she didn't get her ass beat hard enough. But they just, like, barely beat her ass and then got back in the ring. It was too quick. It buried both of them.
Yeah, this was pretty sad. Like you said, Christian, they messed up Becky's return, and they definitely screwed up Bianca and everything that she has done to get to where she was today, or like I said, was, you know, being champion and whatnot. It was like, it just seems like now none of that means anything after what they did to her tonight. And I feel really, really bad for her. I'm sure when they told her what was going to happen that she wasn't really happy about it, but she's just a little peon in this big-ass company, and she doesn't have really any say. She can say, you know, speak her mind about it, but Vince has the last say, and it's either what he says or you get the hell out. That's just his thing.
While that's true, I think that Bianca is similar to, like, how I was describing Riddle earlier. I think Bianca definitely has that it factor, and Bianca, like, will be. She didn't go through the NXT, like, oh, well, she did go through NXT, but I'm saying she didn't get the same treatment as, like, Sasha and Becky got in NXT.
but she has the potential to definitely be bigger than what she is now. And she's so young and she's super fit. And like, I think that she's going to be a badass wrestler in the future. So I don't think it's the end for her, but it does suck that she got cut short.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so she was going to have to drop the title. Okay, that's fine. But at least make it a match. Don't make it a squash.
Right.
You know, it's bad enough that you're going to have to drop
that's
the title.
I think when we see SmackDown this Friday, it's going to be, like, contested. I think that it's going to be like, that wasn't an official match. We're going to see Sonya, or what's her name? Sonya Deville.
Sasha? Sonya Deville.
Yeah, she's going to come out and say that wasn't an official match, and then they're going to get a rematch. And I could see Bianca winning that match, and then
Extreme
it's
going
to lead to a triple threat match.
I think at Extreme Rules, is that the next pay-per-view?
I don't know.
Yep,
is that
Extreme Rules the next one?
I don't know.
It's definitely not finished. They're definitely not finished, that's for sure. So we just got to see what happens on Friday, see what they're going to do with this. So, but it was definitely terrible. Nobody liked it. Nobody on social media likes it. You're going to hear about it on everybody's wrestling YouTube channels. They're going to be talking about this. Yeah, and everybody has the right to be upset. That was pretty bad what Vince did. He should be ashamed of himself. I'm sorry.
And to me, it felt like this was a last-minute decision that was made and the way that it was done. And plus, if you notice, if this match was a full match, the pay-per-view would have went on until 12:30. You know what I mean? They probably didn't have the time. Their time is running. And plus, they had some stupid segments on here, too, that shouldn't have belonged at all. But the fact that they did what they did to Bianca is... I don't, man, not good. She's a talented woman.
Like,
if they'd actually done
like 10 or 15 minutes, like in the ring, I was like ready for that. Like whenever Bianca like bowed up to Becky, I was like, oh fuck, it's about to go down. And then it was just squashed. And so
what, a handshake, a clothesline and a rock bottom. That's it. That's all she deserves.
Exactly.
That's all it was. That's all that it was. Like literally three moves. Like you just screwed the girl right there in front of. And talk about being buried. More than two people got buried in here. Like Carmella got buried and Bianca got buried.
Yeah,
it was horrible the way they did that.
Yeah,
Carmella's been buried.
One of the biggest stars on SmackDown, and she got buried super hard in this match.
Because
mm-hmm.
married
Carmella,
a long time ago,
yeah,
like did he get
like the filler for Sasha? Carmella coming in to be the filler for Sasha should have been like a big draw, but it wasn't. It should have been like a big thing, like but it wasn't booked that way. And then she got treated like shit, and so it was just, she got the short end of the stick for sure.
So up next we get more garbage, and I knew this match was gonna be shit too. I called it a fatal four way. Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. What the fuck was the point of this? What was the point of this fucking match? This match was 4 fucking minutes. Jinder got absolutely squashed. 1, 2, 3. That's it. Fuck this dude. This dude fucking sucked. This match sucked. Hold on. Ahmad, what are your thoughts? Ahmad?
Go to DJ.
Okay, DJ, what are your thoughts?
I blinked, and it was over. I was like, wait, what happened? I didn't know what had happened, and then I realized, holy crap, Jinder got squashed, and I was like, what's going on with all the squash matches tonight in this pay-per-view? I couldn't understand what was happening. I don't know what they're doing here. I don't know,
I don't know.
This
was WWE, like, going on tour. This was them, like, just showing the matches that they've been doing on, like, on a live stage. So, like, now the crowd, they get to redo the match that they've done.
They could have done that on Raw. They didn't have the need to do that here on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. And
I watched them on Raw.
Fatal 4-Way, like, this match, like, has to happen, like, Drew versus... drawing a blank.
Jinder Mahal.
Drew versus Jinder, like, has to happen.
but like it didn't have to happen here. It could have happened on Raw and like been squashed.
Exactly.
And
that was like a waste of a waste of a match space. You could have had a different match, and it would have been a lot better than what we just saw.
Well, you could have gave Becky the match. You could have done that instead of doing.
Made that match longer.
I'm telling
you,
the reason
they
did that,
you know what it is, they had to get McIntyre in there. You can't keep McIntyre out of a pay per view.
Right,
so,
but
the people
have done it a different way.
But see Drew. They do want to see this. They want it. They like a portion of the fans do want to see this match. But is it the best draw? Is it the best bang for your buck to do it here? Do it now.
I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not a fan of Drew. I never have. I think he's boring. I think he's very stale. I'm not a fan of Drew McIntyre at all. I'm not even a fan of his gimmick. His new thing with the sword, like King Arthur coming out there. I'm not a fan of his at all. But this match, the way that they did it, they could have dragged it out a little longer. Or, like you guys said, it shouldn't have been on a pay-per-view like this. Should have been either on Raw. That's it. Keep it there. But
here's an idea.
It's very short, very short match. This was not – I mean, if you wanted to make Jinder a little bit stronger, you made him like shit right now. So
yeah. Here's an idea. Maybe if you didn't add this match, you could have added, I don't know, the fucking IC champion instead of him doing a fucking segment with him dancing.
Yeah.
Shinsuke Nakamura, one of the best wrestlers in the world. Why the fuck don't you put him on Super Slam or Summer Slam or whatever? Like, why don't you fucking put Shinsuke? That's a great point.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Unnecessary segments that they could have not had at all. You had that and the freaking, the water gun with fucking that was cringe with me. What's his name came out to Xavier Woods. He looked like he looked like Razor Ramon with a water bottle in the back of his thing with a water gun.
That
was so
point.
Stupid.
That was the point. That was what he was doing. He was being Scott Hall. That was the point.
It was dumb. Nobody laughed. It wasn't funny. It was an unnecessary segment. Shinsuke coming out there. Doing the little dancing thing like that was, unnecessary. Is that all you could get? You couldn't get a real, I guess if they wanted to do a WrestleMania kind of thing where, have a little entertainment here and there, that was stupid.
That
was unnecessary. Well, yeah, that's...
Hey, actually, I forgot that they did have Shinsuke. Who did he fight? Shinsuke did have a match tonight.
Yeah, he faced Apollo Crews on SmackDown, and that's about it.
That's it.
No,
he did not have anything.
What happened tonight, because Rick Boggs came out tonight. I know I saw Rick Boggs. Did they just, like, introduce him and he didn't have a match?
No,
right.
he didn't have a match.
He just came and did a dance. He just came, did a dance on with, what's his name?
Pat McAfee
on next to thing. And that's it. McAfee was dancing with him, and that's it. And we come back and we get the thing.
Yeah,
so,
I see. I'm sorry. Because I remember seeing the Rick Boggs thing and then thinking that he was about to have a match, but I think I was, like, distracted whenever that was going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, because when we were all watching together, we're like, that's it? Is that what Shinsuke
real
got?
Real quick, not
just
to
a
take
little...
too much time on this, but, like, Rick Boggs was playing guitar. Elias just burned his guitar. Elias, like, turned away. Like, do you think that, like, they didn't want to have two guitar gimmicks on the show at the same time? Do you think that, like, now that Rick Boggs is, like, always coming out, like... They were like, Elias, you got to fucking stop doing the guitar gimmick. I know it's different, but, like, it's just really weird to me that, like, they've had Rick Boggs for, like, a month, but, like, now Elias is doing this, burying the guitar gimmick.
Yeah, that could be it, but also I think Elias is getting stale, too. Maybe that's why Elias himself, his gimmick was getting stale. So he's smart. Yeah. If they're smart if they want to change his gimmick. But... Maybe that's it. Maybe that's one of the reasons. Who knows? Vince, nobody knows what's going on in Vince's head, guys. I mean,
just
he's
like
out of touch anyways.
Just like this next match, the Triple Threat Raw Women's match. This match was shit. It was it was botchy. And guess what? Nikki Trash lost. She lost the title, everybody. That was her run and only title reign. Woo! What a good gimmick. What a great gimmick. What a great gimmick change. What a great idea. Guess who won? Guess who won? Charlotte Flair. Another horsewoman. The horsewomen are on top, everybody, because nobody else in the women's division can't get over. Nope. It's only the horsewomen. Fuck this shit. Fuck Nikki Trash and her fucking gimmick. Fuck it. This was a lose-lose situation, this match. It was a lose-lose situation. DJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is another one of those matches that, if anything, if there's one thing you could say about this match, we knew, or at least I knew, Nikki wasn't going to be holding on to that title. So, basically everything she did was pretty much a waste, in my opinion. Is anybody going to be, you know, with her having the title and doing her gimmick, okay, I see people were going with it, but now that she doesn't have the title, but she still has this gimmick, how much over is she still going to be with this gimmick without the title? I think that's the question now. I don't think this is over between the three of them, to be honest with you. I think this is going to spill over onto Raw tomorrow somehow, some way. Which is terrible because there are other women on the roster that could be given a chance and they're not given a chance. And that's just how Vince rolls, man. That's how he plays, and that's why product is as bad as it is. Because he doesn't trust anybody, he doesn't want to give anybody else a chance. And you know, I'm not surprised at all that she didn't have the belt. Now whether or not Charlotte won it or Ripley won it, Mickey wasn't going to hold the title. That part I knew. But with Charlotte winning, that was no surprise. Charlotte has always been the top dogs in the women's division, always. No matter how much you like her or not, it is what it is. We could be sick of her as much as we want to be sick of her. It isn't going to change anything. So.
Yeah, I don't even care.
I'm at the point I just don't care anymore. Honestly, I don't. Whatever happens, happens. I don't care. It is what it is. I try not to let it bother me. So.
And see, that's where like I think the divide is, because I agree 100% with everything you're saying, but I think that like Charlotte, like being the champion is best for business. I think that Charlotte, like I am invested in Charlotte becoming champion again. Because I think that she's the one that can carry it better than anybody and add the most prestige to the title, et cetera. She is the best. So I think that it is. I just think that it was a good decision. I think I'm pretty sure that I booked Charlotte for winning this match on our prediction.
I just think people are just tired of, you know, even though she's the one to, you know, Vince still, she's the one to, you know, that can hold that title and hold it with the, you know, the way it's supposed to be held and what, you know, whatever you want to call it. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that it's been happening over and over and over again. And I get the same thing with Roman Reigns.
Repetition. You don't want stuff to be shoved down your throat. You don't want repetition. Like, but to me, like the way that I've always watched it, is like, if they are the best, then they deserve the best. So I get that there's other people on the roster that deserve stuff, but there's not really anybody other than maybe Asuka or Bayley, maybe a couple of people that like are kind of in the same position as like with Charlotte.
Yeah.
What about Nikki Ash, Kevin? What about Nikki Ash?
Just like what they did with Roman Reigns for like almost five years straight.
Little girl loves her, and like it's cool, little kids love her. But no, I mean, like, and so if they give her the title tomorrow night, like if she wins it back, that's going to be bullshit. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm praying for like another like Charlotte, like queen bitch role where she just like shits on everybody and like wins all the time. But I think that'll like push other chicks to like come up other than the ones that we've seen on Raw.
I mean, the match all in all, from beginning to end, from the beginning it was very slow, very. Even Nikki had some botches in there that if you guys notice, but as the match went along, it got a little bit better. But at the same time, I knew Nikki was also going to lose, but I either wanted Ripley or Charlotte. Either one was going to win, but having Charlotte win again, to me, it's annoying. It's repetitive. It's boring. Even the way, if you look at Charlotte when she first came from NXT to the way she is now, okay, she's been in the company for a while. Her total, the way she talks, the way she says stuff right now, I feel like it's Ric Flair in a female's body. That's what it reminds me of. And she's no Ric Flair, but I get it. She's her daughter, and that's his daughter. I get that, you know, the genetics and all that stuff. But to me, it's still stale and boring. I don't like. You'll see. It's going to get to a point. Like she even gets booed sometimes, you know, which I get it. She's a heel. I get that. I just think they could have done a little bit something different here or something, or have, I don't know. There's nothing really to do different. And even Nikki wasn't really over with her character either, because she wasn't getting the pop or the kind of excitement that you get from a champion either. But she got the pop when she won. But after that, it was like, you know, Boo City, and she's supposed to be the face, right? The champion.
Mm-hmm.
They could have picked somebody. They got to. I don't know who they're gonna do. I guess Charlotte's the one to carry it for now. And I felt like this was also a last minute decision that Vince probably made. So there's a couple of things that if you look at it the way that the match ended, it just kind of feels like, you know, that's the last. That's it. That's the decision they made. Charlotte has to win.
How about the fact that Rhea Ripley became an afterthought now? Now she's a loser now.
I mean, she is. I mean, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, but, like, it's her fault, bro. Like, Rhea Ripley has tried to fit in on the in the storyline and stuff, and, like, they've done everything they can to make her relevant. I think that Charlotte is more, like, Charlotte, there's only a few people that, like, have the thing that, like, maybe, like, and The Rock and Stone Cold or, you know, Hogan or these guys used to have. And I think that Charlotte has, like, just a fucking glimpse of that. And I don't think that Rhea has that. I was hot on Rhea when she got brought up, but, no, Rhea dropped the ball. They dropped the ball on how they booked her. They dropped the ball on just the whole booking of everything. But I think the end story should be that Charlotte is the baddest-ass one, and you have to beat her. It sucks that Charlotte was gone and came back and, like, was introduced into this. But, like, I mean, if she is the best, then they deserve the best. So I would attribute Charlotte really to, like, yeah, like I said, like Stone Cold or Rock or somebody. Like, she's this large. She's Ric Flair's daughter. She does these fucking bad moves, like moonsaults and shit like this. And Charlotte deserves respect. So I'm happy that she won.
So up next, we have the semi-main event. We have Old Turd versus Bobby Lashley. The fans booed the shit out of Goldberg. They booed the shit out of him because they are sick of him. They're sick of his old ass. They don't want to see him anymore. The whole legacy of Goldberg is fucking ruined. Nobody wants to see this fucking guy. Nobody wants to see his fucking kid. Nobody wants to see him at all. So Bobby Lashley gets fucking cheered. This lasts a little longer than his usual matches. It lasts a little longer, but guess what? The match sucked. And the fucking fuck finish is fucking awful. So, okay, of course, Goldberg has to look fucking strong. Fucking, the ref stopped the match because Goldberg's leg was giving out. It was hurting. So the fucking match just ends. It ends, and that's about it. Then Cage, whatever the fuck his name is, jumps into the ring. Fucking Goldberg hits the hurt lock on him, knocks him out. And then we're going to fucking see this fucking match again. Probably in Crown Jewel or Extreme Rules. What the fuck? I want to see fucking Goldberg versus Lashley again. This match fucking sucked. Nobody wants to see this fucking old fuck anymore. They fucking booed his ass. The guy's legacy is destroyed. Nobody wants to see this fucking old bastard again. Ahmad, your thoughts? Ahmad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry. My thoughts exactly. Sorry, I had you on mute. Because, you know, I don't want to fart in your ear. My thoughts exactly. I agree with you. This match from beginning to end sucked. It was longer than usual. But the way it ended was horrible. Terrible the way that it ended. I mean, he could have tapped out or did something else instead. I mean, but – and again – horrible way, horrible booking, horrible. It was just not a good. It was not a good match. It was better than before, where, you know, it went a little bit longer. I guess he's got two more matches in his contract that he's got to finish. Maybe that's what he's, you know, they're stretching it out for that. But, you know, at the end he goes, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. Okay, how are you going to kill him with, you know, he's going to have bionic knees come back, you know. I don't know. I was not a fan of this match either. It should have never happened, but it happened. And it is what it is. We got to live with it. Vince McMahon and his booking. And I think it has to do with time again. That's why they probably cut it short, because of the time factor. DJ.
Well, like Ahmad said, this match went longer than I had anticipated it going longer. I think it surprised a lot of people who knows that, you know, the last few returns that Goldberg did, his matches lasted what, maybe 10 minutes? Maybe. But this definitely went longer than that, for sure. And they were going back and forth for a while, and then all of a sudden, it was just all Lashley. As soon as he, you know, did that one move to his leg, it was pretty much all Lashley at that point, until the referee decided to stop the match because of his leg, whatever. I don't know, man. That was so weird how they did that, how they ended that match. Honestly, that was really weird. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of people's reasons, or, you know, on these wrestling websites, they're going to tell us why it ended the way it did. And then his son getting involved. It was really weird because somebody on Discord mentioned his son, and then all of a sudden he shows up in the ring on Lashley's back. And then Lashley puts the, as Ahmad said, or Christian said, the hurt. What is it? The hurt locker?
The hurt locker. Yeah.
The hurt lock.
AKA Full Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden Goldberg realizes what happened. And I obviously after seeing that, this isn't going anywhere. This is still going to be going on. And I think this is going to result, like, you know, Christian said, that they're going to have another match, and it's probably going to end up at Extreme Rules, or either that, or their next Saudi show that they're going to have. I would probably, if I was a betting guy, I would probably bet that this will probably have a Saudi show, because they need to get matches, big matches for their Saudi show. So I would be surprised if this wasn't on the Saudi show, the match, their next match. Goldberg's only got two more matches left. So one of them is going to be coming up soon, like I said, at the Saudi. I don't know when the next one's going to be. They may wait until maybe, I don't know, after the year.
Trouble's going to happen when he takes the title off of Brock Lesnar. Really? I mean, Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, obviously this one isn't over. That was a weird finish. Very surprised it lasted as long as it did. That was the only thing that really surprised me about this whole match. So no one really wanted to see it. I didn't want to see it. But it happened, and we got what we got.
And DJ, the funny thing is you and I said, oh, man, look, this match lasted longer than it should have. And
yeah,
sure enough, they did the stupid-ass finish.
I was absolutely stunned at how long this match went. I really was. And Goldberg, maybe you guys saw it. I didn't. But it didn't seem like Goldberg seemed like he was gassed at all. Maybe it's because he was on the ground.
No, that,
like
that was
time.
True.
But
yeah.
I didn't notice it. Like in other matches that he's been where you would see he's definitely tired and breathing heavy and stuff. But I did not see that at all in this match tonight. So,
apparently he's been doing a different kind of training regimen too. That's why. That part is
good.
Yeah. He's doing a different.
He looked good.
Good.
He looked good for sure. He looked good tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as far as, you know, his physical stature.
Goldberg
looked really good tonight.
He looked better than I've seen him look like since like the 90s. Like that dude looked better tonight than he has looked. And seeing him go extra in the match, like seeing the match go longer than 3 minutes, was cool.
Right.
But other than that aspect of it, like it sucks. And it's like, why is Bobby, you know, we on Fatal 4-Way, we've talked about how the Hurt Business, and Bobby Lashley is like the best thing in wrestling in a while. Like we go back to that being the main storyline, and for Goldberg to come in and interrupt it, and to even be like on the blip of the radar or whatever, like it just sucks. Like to be a blip on the radar for Bobby Lashley, it's unnecessary. Yeah. And to speak on the Saudi thing, like the last time the WWE went to Saudi, they got stuck over there and people weren't able to come home. And it was a clusterfuck, and they have, you know, aside from the cultural differences and the political differences and blah, 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 it's like, when are they going to quit doing this? Why are they putting our champion? This is like, Bobby Lashley is our champion, and they're putting him in this match, like, they're putting him in this position where they have to go overseas and do this thing, and it's just like, they're shilling, and I hate, and I'm all for... I don't want to sound like I'm not for, like, world, like, it is world wrestling entertainment. I want everybody to be included. But for these people to be put in a position of risk and to be put in a position where, like, in a danger zone and stuff like that, man, it's like, so Bobby Lashley has no choice but to go wrestle Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. And it's,
you know. Do you know that they have, that WWE has a contract with Saudi Arabia? I believe it's like a 10-year contract or some crap.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep,
they're going to be
years,
doing these
shows
for a while.
No, I'm sorry, 20 shows. So it's 10 years to 2 shows per year that they got to do. And they've already been paid
right.
for it. Well, supposedly they've been paid. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I saw the Crown Jewel image pop up tonight, and I was like, man, they're still doing this. And I just know how the last one went. Like, people were stuck over there and couldn't get back home. And
yes,
it's like, dude, why are you putting your employees in this position?
They're not employees, they're contractors.
On top of everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, now we go to the main event, the meat and bone of this otherwise garbage pay-per-view. I mean, fuck me, we haven't said any praise in this entire pay-per-view except for, like, the first match. So we go to John Cena versus Roman Reigns. This match fucking was boring. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Christian. I don't mean it. It's an 8-year deal, not a 10-year deal, with two matches in the country each year.
Okay.
Yeah, they paid Saudi Arabia, paid WWE $60 million.
All for nothing because all the shows are terrible anyway. So, yeah.
Actually, Christian, before you go, you got one more match that you didn't discuss, buddy.
What? What match?
Edge and Seth Rollins.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me about it. Edge versus Seth Rollins was a great match. The best match in the entire card. For shame. For fucking shame. The fact that Edge, in his age, is more fit and more able to be athletic than fucking Goldberg, for shame. The fact that Edge can out-wrestle and still be working than all the fucking main roster, for shame. Because this was a great match. The beginning was slow, but it picked up towards the end. We saw moves that were fucking great. Spots, actual wrestling spots that were great. And guess what? Edge won. So guess what? Round of applause. It was the best match of the whole fucking night, bar none. Better than the fucking main event. You know what? You know also why it was the best match of the whole show? Because it actually felt like a real fucking feud for once in this fucking pathetic company's life. Man, what a fucking great match. Your thoughts, DJ?
I'm going to take this one first. I'll let Ahmad take this one first.
All right, Ahmad, you go first.
I mean, I'm speechless. It was the best match of the night. From beginning to it was slow in the beginning, but it just basically crescendoed, and the story, you felt like a real story from beginning to end, and from when it started until it ended, your eyes were glued. So there was not in the beginning. Yeah, it was a little slow, but it was a good match, you know, and like I said, I'm not a Seth Rollins fan by any means, but he did a good job here tonight with Edge. And Edge, Of course, one critique of Edge that I got, he's got to shave that beard, dude. He looks way, way older. He's not, I don't think he's that old, but he's definitely fit, top shape. He did a great job here. There's some moves and stuff like that that I didn't, you know, that he took, some bumps on his neck that I was like, oh, my God, you know, because of his neck situation. A couple of the moves, I was like, oh, my God, I hope it's not going to, you know, because the way Seth Rollins' record's been with people that he's been in the ring with, he's hurt him. And if you notice, no buckle bomb there tonight. He didn't use the buckle bomb. He didn't. I guess maybe that's not. I guess he didn't want to do it.
I thought they banned the buckle bomb.
Yeah, he already retired.
He already retired one guy
with that.
So,
let's not do it again.
Right.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, especially with Sting, when he got in the ring, he hurt him. So that's what I was really worried about. But other than that, the match was great from top to end, and it was the best match of the night. And it was, I think, if one feud that they wanted to continue.
I was at Night of Champions.
One feud that they should
Sting got injured.
They should
I was.
Wow.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I was just saying I was there at Night of Champions the night that Sting wrestled Seth, and it was here in Houston. And it was crazy.
Okay.
Dude. Like seeing it live was pretty crazy. And then he leans into that like in his storylines. He's like, I'm gonna retire you. I'm gonna fucking kill you if I can. You know,
uh-huh.
Like, I love that about Seth.
Yeah, no, he's great. I mean, his gimmick right now is a little over the top. Is a little crazy. I feel like he's the Joker. Like he's the Joker of the WWE right now. The way he's, with all this crazy suits he wears.
Right.
We got a joke on our Discord where he's like, and that's the WWE Joker. It's like he's wearing drapes. Like last week he wore drapes to the ring. Like, yeah, his character's a little crazy. I like this character a lot better than the Messiah character, you know. It's a lot better. He's over the top. It's fine. Especially tonight's match, he did great. I think this is one feud I want them to continue. They're both pretty good on the mic. They were great on the ring tonight. I just wish they could do more stories like this and then the ring and the way that they booked these guys. This is the way you should. And especially the way when he came out with the Brood music and then he went back to, you know, Rated R Superstar
sick.
Music. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
I wanted him to continue with the Brood music. But I would have liked a couple of the Brood people to come back with him. And that would have been awesome, too.
Yeah, it would have been cool. I mean, if Christian wasn't in AEW, it would have been cool to have him escorted by the Brood. Like, if he was going to do that, Gangrel is a free agent. They could have brought Gringo back.
There's that music. That's right. There's that.
I must have missed where like they brought this back for Edge. Like I don't know if this happened on SmackDown. Was it a surprise?
It did. I don't know. I was just about to talk about that. That's what got me.
Oh, it was where they poured the hot chocolate over him. They poured oil all over him or something like that.
Yeah, right. DJ's the one who told me about that. Go ahead, DJ.
Oh, well, carry on.
No, I just remember. I remember now. Like I remember that I saw a clip where they did the Harry Carey or whatever to Seth in the ring. Like and Edge pops up on the screen. He's like, the Brood music plays, and then Edge pops up on the screen and drops the hot chocolate. I was like, that's got to be chocolate, right?
Yeah. Or it's ink. So DJ, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, they pretty much said it all. I mean, this was probably, if anything, the only match I was really invested in, especially after what happened on SmackDown. They gave us a little taste of what Edge said, that he said he was going to have to go somewhere that he never thought he would have to go to because it's so hard to get out of it once he gets into it. And we were like, what is he talking about? And then later on in the show, they show him on the Titantron, and all of a sudden you hear the Brood's music, the fire, and everything like that. And I thought, man, this is fantastic. So obviously this is what he's going to be doing at SummerSlam. When he comes out, he's going to come out to the Brood music because he's going to go back to his Brood days. And I thought, that's fantastic. I like that idea. And so I was invested in this match 100%, and I couldn't wait for this match to get started. This was by far the match of the night. I agree with Ahmad. I agree with Christian. This was definitely the match of the night. I love listening to both of them on the mic. I think when Edge started the show on SmackDown and his promo he did in the middle of the ring, I think that's his best since he's been back. I think that's his best promo so far. That I have heard. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this match. I have nothing bad to say about it. It was fantastic. These two, it's like these two have that chemistry that nobody really knew they had. And everything just seemed to gel well with them. And I hope this continues because the way they did this and the way they booked it, that's how you're supposed to do it with everybody when you're doing feuds. This is how you do it. This is how you get people invested in wanting to see the ending of this match, you know, at a pay-per-view, and you get people hyped up. When you don't build stuff like this, no one wants to see it. No one's invested in it, and they just are just like, ah, whatever. But, yeah, I love this match. It's not so fantastic.
Yep. I'm just kind of curious who wrote the storyline for this. I want them, whoever wrote it, continue it. I agree with you, DJ.
Yeah. I hope. All right, so right now it's the meat and bones, the main event of SummerSlam.
You mean the meat and potatoes?
Yeah, meat and potatoes, whatever you want to call it.
meat and potatoes, you know, not bones.
It's John Cena versus Roman Reigns. God, this match was boring. This was shit. I'm sorry. Like, The only two part spots that was good was John Cena doing the AA to the announce table and John Cena doing an avalanche AA on the top rope. But that's about it. This match was fucking boring. All Roman was doing was punch, knock down John Cena, headlock, sleeper hold, and all that bullshit talking, and then fucking they spam finishers.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of laughing. He was, like, just stopping and laughing for a while and, like,
talking to the camera.
I was just like, shut the fuck up, dude.
I hate this gimmick. This gimmick fucking sucks. I hate it. Anyway, yeah, so spam Superman punch. John Cena did fuck all. John Cena didn't barely do anything in this fucking match except for those AAs. Oh, no way he did to do something. A bunch of fucking roll-ups. You know how many fucking roll-ups this guy did in the entire fucking match? Un-fucking-real. And then the match fucking ends. Spear, 1, 2, 3. Who gives a fuck? Then comes Brock Lesnar, which I guess is a counter for fucking CM Punk. But nope, we're not going to do Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, a match everybody won. We're going to do again Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns again. Because Paul Heyman is now his manager. That's the story. Wow. Oh, fuck this. I don't want to see these fucking legends put Roman Reigns over. We've been seeing this for years now. How many fucking legends are going to put this fucking guy
calm
over?
Calm down. Brock will win. Brock is,
I hate
gonna,
them.
Brock is
I hate
going
them.
To win.
I hate them. He's not going to win.
Brock,
he's gonna
Brock
lose
is going to win.
To Roman.
Nah.
He's not going to win. Fuck this shit. I'm done with this Roman
Brock
Reigns bullshit. I'm done with this Roman Reigns bullshit. I'm done with it.
I marked out for Brock. I think Brock looked like $1 million, and I was so
happy
to see him come back.
Brock is great. Brock is great. Brock looks fantastic. I'm talking about this Roman Reigns bullshit.
I think that he's going to take Roman down. I think that there's like a change happening now. I think that they're just going to abandon the Roman Reigns storyline.
No, fucking Paul Heyman is going to turn on Brock, and then Roman Reigns is going to win.
Is this going to be where Roman Reigns finally goes back to being a face? Because you know Vince McMahon said months ago that Roman Reigns' heel run is just temporary. And at some point after WrestleMania, which it's been how many months now? April, May, June, July, August. It's been, what, almost 5 months? So And now Brock's back. Is this where Roman is gonna go? Is gonna go, try to go face again?
I don't know.
And is
no.
it gonna work?
Yeah, and you know the storyline that I'm thinking of is Paul Heyman screwing with Roman Reigns and going back to Brock,
going back to Brock
and then
going back to Brock.
Right. Right.
Well, that's just gonna suck, bro.
Because
no
Brock,
sense.
As you know, Brock is not that great on the mic. He never was great on the mic.
Well, he's gonna
he
find
never
somebody
was
to manage him.
I mean,
somebody's
he doesn't work with anybody Brock. Else. He doesn't like working
Roman,
with anybody else.
Roman
he doesn't like anybody else.
Here, bro. Roman Brock is better on the mic than Roman is, I would say.
I do agree with that. Yes, yes. But if you notice in the recent years that Brock's been with Paul Heyman, he said one or two lines here and there, but most of the time that's his mouthpiece. That's the guy that talks for him. That's the guy that runs. I mean, does all the promos and from. And they get along together, and they're a great team together. And plus, from when he came back on his second run with Paul Heyman, that's all he wanted. He wanted Paul Heyman to be his mouthpiece. But
by the way,
we're going overtime.
We're going overtime, ladies and gentlemen. So stick around or hear the records after the show goes off the air. But we're going overtime. So continue.
Yeah, and I think with first of all, I'm not a fan of Roman Reigns ever. The only time that I was a fan of his was when he was in the Shield. And when he, all he did was did ooh-wah and did the powerbomb with the ooh. That's it. That's all I was a fan of his. After his space run, his heel run, and the way that he's as a heel he is, he's not great. He's not great on the mic. He's not, even when he talks, as he's trying to be like the head of the table, I don't know why he whispers sometimes. He just doesn't do it for me. I think they should abandon Roman Reigns completely. Some of the things John Cena says in his promos is kind of true. Like, you don't know how to talk. You don't know how to... And everybody that's tried to help him, he's never been elevated. He doesn't... There's three moves. Superman punch, spear, and that's it. That's all
the
moves you
have.
I think he's stale. He's the most stalest...
Go ahead.
Stalest character in all of WWE. The most stalest character in WWE, Roman Reigns.
The whole point of him turning heel was so the fans could cheer him, right? Guess what? The fans are still booing his ass. The fans are still booing him.
Because they know everything that he does, he doesn't do it to 100%. And
no, when Roman... You're listening
to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
All right, so that was the overtime sound, so we're going to keep talking. Go ahead, Amon, finish what you were saying. I'm sorry.
I wanted the overtime sound. You know what that's from? That's from a show on CBS called Werewolf. You guys remember that? Airwolf. You guys remember that show?
Yes.
Great show.
Yeah.
Jan Michael Vincent.
So you were saying about Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns is stale. He's getting, it doesn't matter whether it's face, heel, he's stale. And I think they should abandon him completely. Like, he shouldn't be the face of the company anymore. The reason I think they also brought Brock back is because he's not bringing in, even during the pandemic, he wasn't that great. I mean, because the crowd wasn't around, he really couldn't tell. And even when they brought him back in the Thunderdome, even the crowd there was booing him. No matter what, he's not likable. He doesn't have a personality. He can't talk on the mic. And you could tell from his promos before even the match, this past, Friday. It's the same stuff. No matter how much John Cena, whether you like him or you hate him, the guy can talk on the mic. The guy can sell a match. The guy can do, and he does other movesets. But the roll-ups and stuff like that tonight was stupid. But that's part of his thing. And that was part of his promo. He wanted to prove a point. I get that. I didn't do nothing for the match.
One, two, three.
But at least, one, two, three. But at least the guy can do, he has all the things. And he's been in the company for 10 years. And the reason he's popular is because of that. Roman will never get there. He will never be The Rock. He'll never. And I don't want to wait. And I don't want to wait a year for him to go wrestle The Rock either. I think it's a waste of time, money, and it's and if oh for The Rock to come back wrestle somebody else, sure, I'll but not Roman. I'm done with Roman. I'm done with Roman. So
and
that's my spiel on that.
What about you, DJ?
As far as
DJ?
Roman or the
oh.
or this match?
Roman, both.
Okay, so I really wasn't looking forward to this match, honestly. I'm not really a John Cena fan. It was really never, even when he first came out, whatever, you know, his debut, what have you. I don't know. I just could not become a complete John Cena fan. He was stiff in the ring when he wrestled. I mean, he's great on the mic. I could listen to him on the mic all day. But anyways, as far as this match goes, I mean, what do you say? I mean, the only thing good about this match, really, in all honesty, was at the end when we got Brock Lesnar coming back. Because I really didn't care for this match. I got to be honest. I really didn't. I was just wondering if anything was going to happen. Because thus far, you know, seeing this match, I was like, what are they going to do to counter CM Punk? Was it Becky Lynch? I can't be it. They got to do more than that. So I was really, really hoping that something was going to happen towards the end. And then, of course, Ahmad gave it away. I mean, he didn't say nothing, but he gave it away anyway by saying, because we were behind, Kevin, in case you wonder what I'm talking about, because we were watching different feeds. So some of us are ahead, some of us are behind. When we're watching the pay-per-view.
I'm
so.
In Houston, so I was an hour behind y'all, or ahead of y'all, rather.
Yeah, so he just basically said, wait for it. So as soon as he said, wait for it, that kind of gave it away. I knew something was going to happen. And the only person it could have been to come out was Brock, and sure enough, Brock Lesnar came out. And I thought it was fantastic. Honestly, do I think it was better than what we saw Friday with CM Punk? Not so much. I mean, yeah, he got a pop. He got a good pop. But I still think CM Punk's pop was just a little bit better. It was definitely better than Becky Lynch's pop, even though, you know, they popped for her, but it really wasn't as big as what we got yesterday. So, but seeing Brock Lesnar back with new hairdo, the beard, he's looking real rugged. Looks like he's been working out. So, I don't know why. He just looks taller. Is it because he probably lost weight?
Yeah,
he seemed
like
he was
super fit.
Yeah.
He looks more natural.
I'm excited.
He looks more natural. He doesn't look roided up.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
And
he looks more
rugged now that he has
honestly,
that beard.
Like,
and honestly,
he was wearing jeans, but, like, so the thing with Brock is, like, his legs are always super skinny. Like, Brock's always, like, top heavy. And legs actually look, like, way wider. Like, he's wearing jeans, so I don't know yet. And it's, like, weird as a wrestling fan to, like, hone in on something like that. But I was like, damn, Brock looks thicker in the legs.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting how he's going to be once he gets back into the ring and does his thing. So I'm excited to see what he does. I mean,
I would agree
if he takes Roman down.
I would agree that, like,
down,
the only
I
interesting
be mad
part
at
of the
it,
match.
I'll say that.
Yeah. I would agree that the only interesting part of the match is when Brock came out. Like, up until then, like, it was like, there was a couple of high spots with the AAs or whatever, but I knew every time I called everyone, I was like, he's going to kick out. He's going to kick out. He's going to kick out.
Yep.
And I called all the kick out, and then I called the pin. And so that's my point. You know, I was just like, damn, this is, like, super predictable.
To kick out of that AA from the second rope? Come on, man. I mean... Only they'd only let Roman kick out of something like that.
So, yeah, I mean,
when
you say that, but, like, really, like, if you look at Drew McIntyre for the past year, the shit that Drew McIntyre has kicked out of is way more intense than, like, what Roman's had to kick out of.
Yeah.
Roman's had to do way less work. Drew McIntyre kicks out of shit left and right. And it's almost like Drew's gimmick is that he can just eat finishers. But, yeah, I mean, so... I think Brock coming back, like, for Roman, I think that Roman doesn't stand a chance. Brock's going to fucking eat him. And we're going to get another Brock run, but it's going to be on SmackDown instead of Raw this time. And I'm happy for that.
And I think this is where Vince is going to make his adjustment and have Roman start going back to being a face. Mark my words.
I think Roman's
going to backfire on him. It's going to backfire on him, but he's going to do it. And he's going to make Brock see it. Even though Brock got a huge pop and everyone's going to cheer for him, he's going to try really hard to make him a heel.
I have heard the draft coming up, too. I've heard people saying that there's a draft in like a month or two. And so if they do the draft again, they could totally get Roman away from Brock. And they could just be Brock with everybody else on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Roman on Raw makes more sense. Like, I kind of like Roman on Raw more. Than Roman being the leader of SmackDown.
It doesn't matter whether on Raw or SmackDown, Roman still sucks. I'm sorry.
Well, here's a million-dollar question. Here's a million-dollar question. Now that Brock is back, is he actually going to be back as a regular, or is he still going to just be part-time?
Part-time.
That's what I'd like to know.
Part-timer.
Part-time.
Part-timer all the way through.
What?
Yep.
I really think he should come back. Full time.
Part time. Roman's not gonna lose. He's gonna beat Lesnar.
I'm pretty sure Brock's the highest paid wrestler. So like Brock gets more money than anybody. So if he's like paid by date like he was on the last run, like he was paid per date. So if that's the case, then they might not use him. They'll use him part time, you know.
I just don't like the fact that
the
wise
move would be, like, since CM Punk said that he's going to be full time on AEW, the wise move would be to put Brock Lesnar full time on SmackDown.
Nah, Brock Lesnar's
yeah,
not going to
I don't
do
like
that.
I don't like when Brock wins the title and then after he wins the title you don't see him, like it seems like forever before you see him again. Just taking the title hostage, I don't want to see that again.
Well, he's not
if you're
going
to be here, and if you're going to be here on WWE, you need to be here 100%. None of this half-ass shit.
And that's why Lesnar's not winning. That's why.
Chuck.
They're not going to do that. They're going to do that. Roman's just going to beat Lesnar again. Paul Heyman's going to side with Roman. He's already invested. He already dug himself in the storyline. Might as well go on the long run. Lesnar's going to get fucking screwed. Roman's going to win again. And they're going to feed Roman more and more until he faces the fucking Rock, and this character's going to be insufferable for one more fucking year.
Tell me how you really feel, Christian.
I hate this gimmick.
Oh.
I hate this type
of before we wrap things up, I just want to make one thing clear. I made a mistake as far as when we were talking about Saudi Arabian stuff. It's 50 million, but they get 50 million for each event. So they're getting $100 million a year.
Right.
For 10 years. So $100 million.
And they're firing Bray Wyatt.
Exactly. Because they're paying him too much money.
Yeah.
Really? Give me a break.
They're losing Daniel Bryan. They're losing they're losing Aleister Black. They're losing all these top talents and they're making $100 million a year from going to Saudi Arabia. And giving us matches that we don't want to see.
So yeah.
Right.
So their deal's to 2027, 2018 to 2027.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. So let's think this logically, right? Why does he need? Why did he need to beat John Cena tonight? He's already beaten him. All right. What's there to prove? All right. He's won the championship multiple times. Seriously, fuck off with this Roman Reigns bullshit. It's bullshit. This Tribal Chief shit is bullshit. He's fucking buried every single roster member in SmackDown. Kevin Owens, buried. Cesaro, buried. Fucking Daniel Bryan, so buried
he left
the company.
It's rock, paper, scissors, dude. It's rock, paper, scissors. Brock has beaten John Cena. John Cena comes in and fights Roman, loses to Roman. Brock has beaten John Cena. Brock comes in and challenges Roman. So Brock beats Roman. Roman lost, what was it? Seth cashed in on whenever it was Brock and Roman at WrestleMania. He cashed in, and that's why it was. So I'm saying, like, Brock is the Rock.
like in rock, paper,
well.
Scissors, and like in Rome, that's what it is. It's a game of rock, paper, scissors, and
but well.
that's how it's supposed to now.
My man
but
is well. A poet and didn't know it.
They literally just repeated the same fucking ending. They literally tonight just repeated the same fucking ending. They had a Money in the Bank where fucking Rome beat a legend, and then another legend came out towards the end of the match and challenged him. They literally just did the same fucking shit they did in the last pay-per-view tonight, the ending. The literally same fucking ending. It's boring, it's repetitive.
I hear what you're saying, but I mean, I would say to that is that, like, the return we got was Brock Lesnar. So we saw Becky Lynch come back tonight, we saw Brock Lesnar come back tonight, and both returns were, I thought, well executed. Like, they were both really badass. And
well,
they
except for Becky,
so.
Nah, Becky didn't. No, I disagree with you on the Becky.
Well,
Lynch
no,
one.
I,
Becky Lynch.
I
they could have given her. They could have given her that good. Moment. Come say hi, and then challenge Bianca on SmackDown.
True.
Could have done it that way.
They
no?
could have. They could have done better. I would. Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about
they
how that
done
actually how that actually went down. But yeah, when Becky came back, if she'd have gotten the match and they would have done it better, that would have made more sense.
Right. And before you said you were talking about moments, right? They had a little moment there with Becky coming out, you know.
Right.
Showing herself back into the WWE Universe. Boom. Show that moment. Hey, this is the moment she's back. Beat up Carmella and say, you know what? I'll see you on Friday night. No match needed there. You didn't have to have a match. Even for that 4 seconds, you could have said, you know, I'll see you. I'm challenging you for your title on Friday Night SmackDown. Boom. Then you would have had a big time rating stuff on Friday night for that. They fucked it up. You had
right.
You fucked up the moment right there. Everybody's now against her. It's like, oh, I can't believe they did that to Bianca.
And also,
now
what?
Bianca.
She wasn't even trending on Twitter, by the way, Becky Lynch. Nobody gave a fuck about it. She wasn't even trending on Twitter.
No, I mean it's good. She was gone for a while. She came back. You brought her back. You made her presence known. Boom, great. You could have just left it there. You know that old saying, keep it simple, stupid. Just keep it simple. That's all you have to do. We're not dumb. We understand she's back. She's going to be a contender. She's going to want her title.
Mm-hmm.
She never lost her title. She gave up her title.
Right.
So and
she
got the title.
She could have just stood at the top of the ramp and done the same thing. Like if she just
and it's
if she
not even,
just come out,
it's
and
not
out
even
there,
the right
it
title. It wasn't even the right
shit.
Title. And it wasn't even the right
yeah,
title.
Yeah.
She gave up the fucking left title.
Right. But my whole point is they could have just even have her say something on the mic and that's it. She would have been good. I said, you know, I'm back. I'm here. Now I'm challenging. Boom. Simple promo. Boom. You would have had a nice little match on Friday Night SmackDown, and boom, you would have had your rating right there for just everybody was going to tune in to see Becky Lynch for the first time in the ring in a long time. This 5 seconds
yeah.
was bullshit.
And they wouldn't have had to bury Bianca, and they wouldn't have had to. They could have just pushed everything, like, and people would have accepted it. There would have been. They could have canceled the match
right.
between that was supposed to be Sasha. And Bianca, and they
right.
could have canceled that and come out of it clean. No, that's a good point.
Right.
I just love the fact they still advertised this match with Sasha Banks, even knowing that she was pulled out of the fucking pay-per-view. I love it. I love
well,
that they just
they walked out to the ring, like right before they walked out to the ring, they played the vignette, and they didn't even explain. Like they barely explained like what happened. They were just like,
right.
"So Carmella's coming out to the ring." So, yeah, no, it's weird. Like, and they went through all the trouble of doing the contract signing where Sasha calls her a bitch. And, like they – it seems like they were going in on this storyline, but they didn't – they weren't, you know. I guess it's COVID. Like, she has COVID or whatever.
So what the fuck was the point of the vignette then? Huh? What the fuck was the point?
Exactly,
by the way,
yeah.
Her
why
picture
did they
was wrong.
All that, yeah.
And her picture
well,
was wrong.
Well, to hype up the crowd, you know, the crowd was pretty hyped up. And the fact that – Bianca came out first, you know, that should have been a sign right there, too. So,
yeah. So a few things.
I don't know. I mean, it was all last minute Vince shit. Last minute Vince shit. That's all it is. Last
yeah.
minute, you know, thinking,
you
know,
so,
I'm going to put a rabbit
again,
out of my
Mom.
Head.
We didn't hear you the first 3 times.
Another tragedy happened at the pay-per-view tonight. People couldn't get drunk.
or eat food at the show tonight, because guess what? The stadium is a cash-free stadium, and the fucking cash reader, those machines that read your credit cards and all that, was fucking broken. So that means they couldn't buy food or get fucking drunk. They got fucked
the credit
tonight.
Cards, the credit card system, their credit card system was down.
Was down.
So, and they don't take cash.
Thousands
they don't take cash.
Bro.
It's all
thousands.
It's all credit.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
so,
so there was no concessions.
When
you can't
I go
buy
to,
any merch.
I've been to
you can't buy any. They lost money buying. They lost money on merch. That's gonna hurt
bro.
WWE right there. And it's probably not gonna make Vince happy.
That
people
crazy.
Can't buy merch. So.
This show was a fucking failure.
Well, I've been to a WWE event a while back. Those merch stands don't. They take cash. They don't even take credit. So
Allegiant
WWE
take
stuff.
Cash.
The stadium was cash-free.
No,
they needed the credit, dude.
I understand, but I understand. Listen, listen. The people that sell the merch are WWE employees, and they have stands out there. It's not like in a store where they have a thing, and then you have to use your card. So those people, when you buy merch, it's cash. Now, unless maybe they've changed, that's what – that was when I was living in Boston. When
well,
I was
they
to,
didn't say that.
The
they
TD
just
Garden.
Said concessions, and
yeah.
That's part of being a concession.
Concessions
is
back.
Merch.
Concessions
you just roll
concessions
out back
usually
and
drinks
Earl
and food.
Hebner's out there
yeah.
Fucking selling T-shirts out of the back of his van. You just grab some shirts off of Hebner and you're good
yeah.
To go, bro.
There you go. There you go.
Well, yeah.
That's bad for them if that's the case. If that's changed and if that's stupid, you know. I mean, that's one of the things you want to make your money at your merch sales. You're screwed. So. Look
they
at
have
CM Punk
people get drunk.
The thing is that the their site broke. We were trying to get into it, and I still can't get it. I get into the page, as soon as I click the shirt, it says error whatever 404 or something like that. Mine was 504 or something like that, but it just craps out. So tell you the difference. And the guy's not a draw. That's what Vince said.
Right.
Because CM Punk
was
not a draw.
I was wondering last night, like on Rampage, like when CM Punk like took his hoodie off and had the shirt on that said I was there, like did they put that? Was that like you could go to the merch booth and buy that shirt then, or like was it for
yeah.
Sale at the end of the night? Like so that's pretty sick. Like when they did, I have like a Houston 316 shirt whenever they came and Austin like made an appearance or whatever down here, and so. But yeah, it's awesome whenever they do like limited release shirts like that. Those fucking I was there shirts for CM Punk are probably like high dollar.
Yeah, they are, and they're there. I think, and I saw the Twitter. I don't know, DJ. I think you shared it, right? There was like massive lines just for the shirts. Like they were all standing in line. People getting 2-3 shirts just to
oh,
get
for
it.
The CM Punk.
Yeah,
was,
and so they weren't selling
yeah,
them
they,
the
yeah.
show,
and
but like after
to,
he announced it and
after,
came out, they probably
yes.
put them for sale.
You couldn't
yep. they will
beat
the
shit
out
of
you for
hello?
A shirt.
Hello? Hello?
They will beat
you
the shit out of
you
for a shirt.
Chris, you couldn't get on the AEW shop website or Teespring because they got broke. It's like
yeah.
everybody
yeah,
was
bro,
trying to get
internet.
On and buy shirts and they sold out and you couldn't even load the website. That's how bad it was.
Yep.
I actually
yeah,
loaded the website gonna... earlier tonight, but they still didn't have any shirts.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna give our final ratings for this disgrace of a show. This show fucking sucked. This was the worst summer scam I've seen in years. Not only that, this show was fucking 5 hours. If you count the pre-show, 5 fucking hours. Unfucking acceptable. Unacceptable. 5 hours. Unacceptable. So, Kevin, what's your rating on this disgrace of a show?
So, I mean, I watched the whole thing. Christian called me like 6 o'clock Houston time, and it was starting. And I turned on the pre-show, and I watched the whole pre-show and watched the whole event. And man, like SummerSlam is my favorite pay-per-view. Like, of all the events, I've seen some of the most memorable moments come from SummerSlam. Daniel Bryan beating John Cena with the knee is, like, one of my most favorite moments from SummerSlam. And, man, it just – I got to give it, like, 3 out of 10? Are we doing like on a scale of 10?
I say
this is a 3 out of 10, man. This is not good. And I say that as a fan of the product. Like, I like WWE, but man, they shit the bed with this one. There was cool returns. Brock coming back was cool. And I don't want to take away from that, but no, overall the show, especially following Rampage last night, like, I don't know, 3 out of 10.
All right, Ahmad, what's your rating?
Mine was 3 is actually a nice number, but I'd say 2 out of 10. That's it, just 2 out of the whole kit and caboodle. Mm-hmm. The returns were good, but the rest of, aside, the bright spot for me was Seth Rollins and Edge match, and I give 2 stars for that match, and the rest all sucked. So I mean, that to me, that was the match of the night. That was the only thing. So the 2 points I'm giving is just for that one match. The rest of them, they all sucked from beginning to end. Having Brock come back, cool, and see the way that they brought back, but Brock, he didn't say anything. He came in the ring, no mic, no nothing. Could have done the same thing with Becky too. That would have been great, but they fucked that up too. So for me, it's 2 out of 10.
What about you, DJ? What's your rating?
I'm gonna go 1 point higher than what Kev gave it. And you gave it a 3, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna go and give it a 4, with most of those points going to the Seth Edge match, and also for Brock showing up. I will give WWE credit on that. And that's where the majority of the points are going, is for those two things. Other than that, I think somebody on here said this was a pretty lackluster pay-per-view, which it pretty much was. So, yeah, 4 out of 10. I'm being nice, giving
you're
them 4
nice.
Out of 10.
You're
I could
nice,
have given them
DJ.
Lower, but
you're being nice.
I'm saying being way too nice.
Well, here's my rating. 1.5 out of 10.
Good Lord.
1.5 out of 10. 1 point for the Edge and Rollins match, and a 0.5 point for the Raw tag title opening. But that's about it. This pay-per-view fucking sucked. This was a scam. This really was a scam. This show really was
you
a scam.
It. Now, you've been calling it for weeks.
That this show is going to be a scam.
SummerSlam is not something new. SummerSlam has been a thing since like before the last pay-per-view. He's like, no, wait until SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
I was right. It was a scam. They scammed the people who can't buy fucking beers or food. They scammed the audience for a 5-hour show that wasn't fucking good. It was awful. They scammed Bianca Belair with this title run only to fucking steal it from that bitch, Becky Lynch. Scam.
They scammed fucking Nikki Ash.
Yeah, they scammed Nikki Cross with her ideas, making it shit,
scammed
making her look bad.
Amos. Our boy Amos, the fucking giant.
Yeah.
Dude,
Amos,
look at AJ
yeah, they,
Styles. Look at all of AJ Styles' friends. Not to take away from this, but like, bro, AJ Styles is here. And all of his friends are like in AEW, like having a fucking great time. And like AJ Styles is here, and I get like him and Amos, I don't hate it, but man, like it kills me to see like AJ Styles living out the twilight of his years, and then like his buddies are like having another renaissance, where we already had like 6-7 years ago, we had a renaissance for all these guys. Now it's happening again, and boom, AJ is not included. I would love to see him go to AEW.
No, I think AJ's too happy with the money he's getting from WWE. Guaranteed money.
Yeah,
he's already signed a contract.
Not for long. I heard in the wrestling news he's going to get a demotion.
He's demoted. I mean, I think being in the tag team means you're demoted, like, to a certain extent. Like, at least for a guy like AJ Styles. AJ Styles was at one point one of the hottest wrestlers in the world. Like, keep
mm-hmm.
him hot. Like, don't let this guy cool off. Don't put him in a tag team with a new guy. What the fuck are y'all doing? So, I don't know. But he is older, and he is in the twilight of his years, but he's got a lot left in the tank, just so they say.
Another failed thing that happened on
SummerSlam during the show, before we close ourselves out, is the fact that the 2K22 game is going to be delayed till next year's, kids. That's right. When it shits, it pours. When it shits, it pours. During an advertisement.
Have you ever played one of those fucking things? Those games suck.
Yeah.
Did he say when it shit, it pours? When it shit, it pours?
I thought it was
when it rains, it pours.
Whatever. It shit. It shitted in WWE's face.
Look up the last one, bro. The last one has the most, it's the most glitchiest fucking game. It's got more glitches than anything I've ever seen.
I hate them.
I still have, not, and this is a humble brag, but I got the fucking N64 hooked up with No Mercy and WrestleMania 2000, like, ready to go. And I've been, like, taking my favorite, like, indie wrestlers and making some creative wrestlers on there and fucking playing that shit. Yeah. I think the AEW game is going to be based off of those engines,
yeah.
And it's going to be like those, so I'm really excited for that. Fuck 2K, though. They're so bad. And I'm stupid because I bought the last three, but they all suck.
They all suck, yeah. But
Christian, by the way, Christian.
Yeah.
Christian, your boy JD said he thoroughly enjoyed the Reigns Cena match.
Well, he's a kiss ass for Roman Reigns now. He's not a real fan, you know. One point he says he hates Roman Reigns, but now he's just kissing his ass. So.
Did JD really say that? Did he really say that he enjoyed that match?
Yeah.
I would tell him, what are you smoking, bro? If you're smoking something, maybe it's really bad for you. You got to change whatever you're smoking.
Somebody said on here, Brock's return top CM Punk's return. Don't at me.
No.
Get out of town, pal.
I did mark out. I marked out harder for Becky than I did for Brock, though. Like, when Becky came out, I was like, what the fuck is Carmella doing out here? And then Becky came out, and I was telling my wife, how cool that they took this to, like, they made me so mad, and then they made me so happy, like, right after that. Like,
And then they made you mad again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, they did do that. They were playing with our emotions tonight.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll close ourselves out one by one. Kevin, you go first.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, thanks for having me on the post show. This is my first time joining you guys, but I'm really glad I got to. I watched the show by myself tonight, so I was, like, amped up to talk about it. Like, last night, dude, I watched AEW, and I could not go to sleep for, like, a while after it, actually. Like, I, like, sat up and played video games until the early morning hours. But, like, no, it's just cool, like, wrestling's not totally horrible, even though the show was a 3 out of 10. Brock is back, Becky's back, and you can catch us talking about it some more on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Check us out on Pro Wrestling Planet on Instagram and Facebook, and check out Local Wrestling from Houston, Texas, and GCW from Dallas, Texas. Yeah.
All right, Kevin.
So this guy, okay, I'll just put this in real quick.
DJ, what you were going to say?
No, I was going to say this guy had a brilliant match stipulation when Brock Lesnar fights Roman Reigns. He said Paul Heyman on a pole match.
Oh, God, that would be awful. All right.
Fight for Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Ahmad, you close yourself out now.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. It was great talking to you guys again. DJ, Kevin, nice to meet you. Hopefully we'll get to do this again. Although it was a crappy show, it was actually a pleasure meeting you guys and discussing the post show. And thanks for having me on. I don't have a radio show. I don't have a game show. But we do have a Discord. You can join us anytime you want there. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Now it's time for DJ FLA to close himself out.
Yeah. Thank you once again, Christian, for having me on, man. I really do appreciate it. I love coming on here and giving my thoughts and opinions. And one last thing before I close myself off, I just saw this on Twitter. Somebody posted it. Apparently there was some off-the-air action that happened, and Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of John Cena.
He German suplexed him and F5'd him and
nice. What a piece of shit. When John Cena didn't need to return anyway. Wow, he's already a piece of shit. Anyway, yeah, so DJ, close yourself out.
So we're good. Thank you, man. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, that wraps up Summer Scam Review Show. I have been your host, Christian Fraffelli. And join us this Tuesday when we find out who won the prediction game for Summer Scam 2021. Horrible fucking pay-per-view. Don't fucking watch it. Don't go on the Peacock and watch it. It's a fucking dreadful show, all right? Not worth your fucking time. I have been your host, Christian Fraffelli. See you all this coming Tuesday. Good night, motherfuckers. And we're out.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.